The semi-annual warehouse clearance event is on at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $1,000 store-wide with our lifetime price guarantee and 100% comfort guarantee. Why shop anywhere else? Limited time clearance savings only at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com.
Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
Welcome to the Country Music Talk podcast, where you can hear the biggest names in country music telling the stories behind their songs, sharing the latest news, and giving us all the gossip on life in Music City and beyond. I'm Baylen Leonard, and you can catch me on Absolute Radio Country. Listen on DAB Radio in the UK, on the free Rayo app, or you can just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country. Right, let's get on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Kezia Gill, hello.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
I was trying to think about the last time that we saw each other. Was it a little showcase in a tattoo parlor?
I think it
ahead
might
of C2C.
Have been.
Yes, last year, I think.
Year, it I was, think. Yeah.
That was fun.
It was really fun.
Do you know what I remember about that? Aside from the fact that I should have gotten a tattoo. Do you have any tattoos? You've got loads of tattoos, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes, of course you do. Did you get a tattoo that night?
I didn't, no.
You're busy.
I was.
But you know what I remember about that night is that I think that's the night that you debuted Dublin's Out of Whiskey. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. It was so fun that time because it's like I knew what was happening with the record deal and the signing and Snake Farm, but nobody else did.
Right.
So it was kind of like a soft launch.
Well, I feel like I kind of figured it out because it was a Snake Farm showcase.
That's right.
That yeah, you were at.
The clues were there.
But that is exciting because Snake Farm, one of our favorite kind of imprint labels, it have a lot of our favorite artists on there. And so great to have you in that stable as well.
I know.
Is that your first kind of major label thing or have
Absolutely.
You had a situation
Yeah,
before?
I've dabbled with small independent labels.
Yeah.
Things kind of haven't really gone right. But I'm a big believer in, you know, fate and everything seemed to happen at the right time, even to the point that I'm quite superstitious and 2025 was the year of the snake on the Chinese calendar.
Yes.
And it was just, you know, 25 was my dad's lucky number and I just feel like everything came together last year. And yeah, I'm excited to be a part of the family.
So this is the year of the
horse.
Okay. Yeah. What do we know about that?
So we're riding into 2026, baby.
Okay. So you're superstitious. Like, how superstitious are you? You won't walk under ladders? You won't step on cracks?
No, I am quite witchy.
Are you? Okay.
I actually went to Salem in America.
Did you?
And I went to the Witches Museum. And they were talking about some of the indicators that you may be a witch. One was having red hair.
Okay.
One was having music ability.
Tick.
And I was like, yeah, I'd have been burnt alive.
What was it like being in Salem, Massachusetts? Because I've always wanted to go there as well.
It was stunning. Absolutely stunning. We were there just late September. So, you know, that beautiful fall time
of
year.
Yeah, the leaves were changing.
And, it sounds so witchy, but I just felt like I'd come home.
Okay.
I just felt so at peace there. I loved all of New England and we did a whole trip from Boston. It was just fantastic.
So are you kind of into the whole Wicca side of things as well, like Wiccan and...
Yeah, not as much. I'm very spiritual. So I believe in like, I'm very like wired to the moon.
Yep.
I'm a believer in numbers and patterns.
Okay, what's your favorite number? So your dad's was 25.
Yeah, so my lucky number's 13.
Okay, Taylor Swift.
I had it first. I'm older than Taylor. I was born on the 13th.
Okay.
I turned 13 on Friday the 13th.
Wow, that's perfect.
And the album is out on Friday the 13th.
So there's something, I was just reading about the album, by the way, All on Red. That's what we're here talking about. We're not just talking about mystical spells, although I love that as well. And the All on Red UK tour, which takes in Leeds, Glasgow, Newcastle, Nottingham, Norwich, London, Exeter, Portsmouth, and Bristol. We will tell you all about that and dig into the album and the tour in a moment. But sticking to this kind of numbers thing for a moment, I just read, and I don't know if this is true, that this February that we're in, it's the first February for like 800 years or something that has four each of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. There's exactly four of them
in
February. And that's the next time that will happen is in like 800 and some years. That must mean something,
well,
right?
Well, that's why we chose this February for the tour. Waited 800 years, you know. I love stuff like that.
Yeah, I do as well, but there's a fine line, I think, between kind of using it for good
mm-hmm.
and using it to kind of help you and becoming a bit obsessed with it.
Yes.
To the point of like, oh, I can't do that because,
sure,
you know, and I find that I can have a tendency to go too far with that. Or in the same way with like manifesting. Are
yes.
you a big manifester?
Absolutely.
So I do believe in that. But I listen to this podcast called Science Versus, where mm-hmm. it just has scientists who break down whatever topic each week. And they did one on manifesting.
Okay.
And it was fascinating because they said they'd done all of these like quite intensive studies with loads of people about manifesting. And it turned out that the people who manifested actually achieved less than the people who didn't because they did less work. They were just trusting that they could manifest
it. Okay.
So it was like you can manifest.
I can see the science in that.
But you got to put the work in as well.
You got to put the work in to make it work.
Well, you have definitely been putting the work in. As long as I've known you, you have been putting the work in. And it is so exciting to kind of see where you are because I think it's fair to say that you're pretty much the UK's favorite homegrown artist.
Oh,
and I'm not labeling you a UK country artist because I don't really get into that. I just think you're a country artist.
Absolutely.
But you are here in the UK and you're one of our own. And you seem to just, I mean, you must see it more than I do, but having seen you perform so many times, you've got such a hometown crowd supporting you and that must feel so great.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, honestly, I feel bad calling them fans because I feel like they're more than that. Like some of the people that come to my shows have literally been with me since, you know, before COVID-19, before lockdown, before I did all the live streams. They used to come and see me play in tiny little pubs and they've really been with me. They've got like merch that I don't even sell anymore, you know. And it's funny when I see like original t-shirts, you know, presses where I maybe only got 50 made.
Yeah.
And they're now coming to the shows where we're getting 2,000 t-shirts made. And it's just, I think what's nice is I feel like they're investing in me, obviously financially, because it costs to go and see live music, but they're rooting for me and they want me to do well and I don't want to let them down. So you get this kind of concoction of me just wanting to make them proud of me. And it pushes me. You know, I don't want to let them down because they believe in me. So
they don't just show up to the shows, you know, like they are very vocal in lots of ways, which, you know, I'm all for, but certainly when it comes to like you being on certain bills, like the Long Road you were on last year, and as somebody who works on that side of things as well, I hear from your fans a lot.
They're sorry quite, about that.
No, listen, I'm all for it. That's always good. They can be pushy though. They're quite pushy. They have very...
I promise I'm not paying them. I promise.
They have very staunch ideas about where you should be. And what. But I mean, that's really lovely to know that it's not just fans who like your music and who are showing up to your shows. Like they are actually advocating for you in a variety of ways.
Yeah. It's funny. We have a name for them. They're my weapons of mass promotion. because if there's ever anything like a vote for your favourite artist or anything, I just literally pop a little post up and then it's like, oh, Kezia's won.
Yes.
But all jokes aside, like I said, I think they invest in me. They've become a part of it. They've become a part of my journey. So, you know, if there's a big stage, they want me on it. Whether I deserve to be on it or not, but they're like, she should be on it. You know, I'm a little bit more, no, let's do it the old-fashioned way. Let's earn the right.
No, but it's lovely to see that. It's lovely to see that. And it's certainly lovely. And it's always, I mean, anybody, whether it's playing you on the radio or, you know, looking at it from a live standpoint or whatever the case may be, what you want on the other side of that equation, what people like me want, is they want to know that you have people who feel passionately about you. You know, we of course, you know, playing on the radio, we always want to introduce artists that we love and songs that we love and new things. But it really doesn't matter if other people don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So to know that you've got that kind of built-in fan base.
Yeah.
Is important for people like me as well.
Well, it's really important, especially in a world of digitalization.
Yes.
And online streaming and views and clicks. Because you can have a song, you know, explode on TikTok,
mm-hmm.
but they're there for a couple of minutes, they'll like it, they'll throw a comment on and they'll move on.
Yeah.
They're not going to buy tickets to my show. They don't know who I am, they just liked that little clip that I put up. Whereas in the difference is, you know, when you have that loyal fan base, they follow you. They follow you. I mean, people have followed me to America to see me play.
Really?
You know, like, literally, it's incredible how far people have gone to support me. And that's why I think that organic growth from a small independent artist to, you know, growing something to now being a signed artist, it's just so lovely to have that organic growth and those people that are like, yeah, we're with you. We're on board.
Yeah. And to knowing that all your hard work, that there is a tangible payoff that you're seeing, which feels good as well.
And
you're
you
not
do,
just
you see it. You
screaming into
it.
The void.
Yes, absolutely. Which sometimes
which you
it
can
feels
be
like.
Doing, which can feel like that's what you're doing if you only have like a TikTok thing, which of course also has its benefits.
Yes.
But sometimes I think if your fan base is entirely online and you never kind of have that FaceTime with them. And you can actually see artists that become enormous on TikTok and then the first tour that they ever do will be playing enormous rooms of 2,000, 3,000 people. And some of them can handle it and do it really well and some of them can't.
Yeah, it must be a huge shock to go straight.
Well, to go from like singing in your bedroom 100%. To singing to 3,000 people, that is a muscle that you have to exercise.
Yeah.
And we see that happen
a
lot.
It's lonely as well because you think like when I write a song, even if I'm co-writing or if I'm writing alone, like that's a very solitary process.
Yeah.
And then quite often the recording, you know, you've just got the band in the room or you might be doing things remotely. And then the PR is all pretty in-house. You know, we've got a team of 5 or 6 people. So it's all very small. It's very insular. Like I work from home. I don't see people at the office every day. It's all just me and my thoughts and my songs. And it's only when you stand out on that stage and look at that crowd and everyone's singing the words back to you, you're like, oh, there you are.
Yeah.
So that without that, it would be so lonely. And I go through all that loneliness to get that hour and a half on the stage with my friends where people know my songs and they do that journey with me. Because, without that, I absolutely couldn't do it.
Yeah, I know. I can imagine. The album All on Red, already out on digital, so it's streaming kind of everywhere now, but CD and vinyl, which I have one in my hand. Thank you very much. Red vinyl.
All right.
Of course, All on Red, on red vinyl. Dublin's Out of Whiskey, we talked about. You debuted when we did that. I started to say we did that showcase together. We didn't really. I just introduced you. You had it all. And the new song, which I guess ties into what we were talking about previously with kind of your witchy ways.
My witchy ways.
although I think a lot of people can relate to a gut feeling.
Yeah.
And that's the name of the song, Gut Feeling. And whether, I think everybody probably has a gut feeling or some sort of intuition, but some people have kind of exercised that a little bit further than other people so they can read it a little bit better.
Yeah, I think as well on the flip of that, there's a lot of people, and I think as well, like being a woman in a very male-dominated industry, sometimes you can just ignore your own intuitions or ignore your gut feeling because you don't want to rock the boat. You don't want to, you know, I don't want to make the situation difficult. I shouldn't say anything. And I think quite often we'll ignore that voice that something isn't quite right. And this song was just about a situation that I was in where even though everything looked great on paper, everything should have been where it was, I just had this feeling. And I pulled the plug. And at the time, it was like, what are you doing? This is madness. But I was like, no, I'm telling you, this is not right. And it's so serendipitous because that decision then led to me meeting Alyssa Bonagura, who produced the album.
Who we love.
Which led to me making All on Red. So I love that Gut Feeling is on this album because it was written because of a feeling that I had in the process of making the album. So it's
so it all, was all meant to be?
100%, yeah. It all figured itself out. But had I not trusted that voice, there's absolutely 100% I know that I would not be sat here with that amazing album that I'm super proud of. You know, I'd have been in a very different situation.
It is really hard to listen to your gut feeling sometimes, yeah. particularly when there's a lot on the line and when yeah. everything is pointing in one direction. And if people are pressuring you, either, you know, they mean to or not, there's, yeah. there's pressure, isn't there, that comes from certain
places.
Well,
it's just that, you know, that saying, oh, if it's too good to be true.
Yeah.
Like, I think, again, that... if everything looks perfect, it doesn't mean it is. Mm. And I just think that little tiny voice, it's worth listening to. It really is.
But even in, you know, even for small things yeah. as well, for big things, there's obviously perhaps more at stake. But just tiny things, like, do you have gut feelings when you are, you know, walking down a street and taking a left or a right, or, you know, small like, things like yeah. that? Because sometimes And it sounds a little bit stupid, but sometimes you can be a little bit lost, like literally lost
yeah.
in a city that you don't know or something. And sometimes you'll just have, if you don't, you know, you can't get signals on your phone and you're like,
yeah.
And there's sometimes where you just have to go, okay, I'm just going to trust something else here and
Absolutely.
See if...
Listen, I'm telling you now, my witchy ways, I'm telling you, ever since we were like sleeping in caves... there's something that wakes you up in the night when danger's near. Mm. You know, like how many people have woken up and then like a car alarm's gone off or yeah. you wake up. And like I'll quite often ring my mum and she'll be like, oh, I was just thinking about you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, yeah. just little things like all the time. Like going back to numbers, I'm a strong lover of number patterns. So like 333.
Okay, yeah.
And I believe that that's when my late father who's passed, that's when he's near me. And the amount of times I'll look at the clock and it will just say 333. And you could argue, oh, but you look at the clock all day. I'm like, no, it's 333.
Mm.
And something's made me look at it. You know, little things like that. And I just think, yeah, there's more going on than we will ever understand.
Sure.
And the gut feeling is one of them. If an alarm bell is going off, you should listen.
Well, we're glad you listened because we love gut feeling. And All on Red, let's talk about this tour because we were talking about how you started in quite small venues.
Yes.
And you're not really in small venues anymore, are you?
No, not really.
That must feel great.
It does. And like I say, going back to the kind of, the TikTok thing from bedroom to arena, like I'm the complete opposite. I did start very, you know, working class pubs, clubs. And to have done that journey where you might be singing to 3 or 4 people to suddenly singing to 300 or 400 people and then 3 or 4,000 people. It's a journey that it still shocks me. You know, when I walk out on stage and I see all those people and they're wearing my T-shirts and they know my songs, like it still shocks me. And I'm like, wow, they're all here for me.
They are all there for you. So All in Red was recorded in Nashville, right?
Yes, it was.
Have you done other albums in Nashville before?
No.
So this was the first time you'd recorded in Nashville.
It was.
Did you feel any sort of, what does that feel like to do that? I guess what I mean is like, not necessarily a geographical outsider, but in some ways, an outsider. You know, I know a lot of people go into Nashville to record, but also, and I know that you have loads of friends in Nashville, but Nashville is such a community
yeah.
as well. And everybody seems to know everybody and everybody's kind of, you know, you're bumping into them at the pizza place or the
yeah.
coffee shop or whatever. So what yeah. was that like for you?
It was a dream that I'd wanted to do. And I felt like I'd been making music, I'd been putting it out independently. And the one thing that I always felt was like, if I'm going to compete with what's coming out of Nashville, which is undoubtedly the best country music in the world, if I'm going to compete with that, I need to get on the same playing field. So I need to come out of Nashville. So it was like a big roll of the dice. I was like, can I make this work? What can we do? We pulled everything together. I spoke with Alyssa. She was like, I'm going to get the best guys. We're going to get the best studio. We went to Sound Emporium, which is iconic. And we made this album, which has been lovingly described as a Nashville record with a British heart, which I love.
Well, that's a great description.
Because everyone on it other than me is from Nashville. So, you know, the music, the production, the sound engineers, the room, everything has that authenticity. But the words are mine, the songs are mine. And I feel like in terms of trying to compete in such a great market, you know, such a high caliber of artists, this was my way of throwing my chip on the table. hence the name All on Red. This was my big gamble.
And did you? How long were you there?
I was there for 2 weeks.
Okay, so, and you've been to Nashville many, many times.
Yeah.
So you must have like your favorite places to go and your neighborhoods and kind of all of that sort of stuff. And being there for 2 weeks, you know, it's not forever, but it's not nothing.
Yeah.
It's long enough to feel like, were you kind of like getting into the groove? Like, do you think you could live in Nashville?
I don't think I could live in town.
Right.
Because it's the traffic alone.
But like East Nashville?
Sure. Yeah. I love Franklin.
Fancy.
I mean, very fancy, if I won the lottery. but yeah, I mean, anything from kind of like midtown out and like East Nashville is great. And I kind of like, I love the little impromptu singer-songwriter nights and the little listening rounds and stuff like that. I feel like you don't get as much of that in downtown. But I feel like a lot of the writers and stuff go out of town and I like that.
Yeah. And you just bump into people all over the place, don't you?
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose an open mic night, you'd call it, out in Leaper's Fork.
Mm.
A great place called Puckett's. And I was there and then I felt this tap on the shoulder and I turned around and it was a girl who my sister went to school with. They were on holiday and they just happened to come to this bar and they were like, "Are you Kezia Gill?" And I was like, "Yes." And
it was feels good being recognised there.
It was just so mad. Like, but yeah, I mean, every time I go to Nashville, I meet someone new, find another joint that I love. And it's just, yeah, I'll forever go back. I love it. I love the place.
Let's talk about State Fair, because we have just found out that you're going to be performing at the first ever State Fair Festival, Chelmsford, this June, and the lineup for this is crazy, not just from a country perspective, but just from a music perspective as well. Neil Young, Kings of Leon, Lumineers, etc. But you're joining Stephen Wilson Jr., Avery Anna, Dylan Gossett, Max McNown. That must be so exciting.
It's so cool. Again, another pinch me moment. And you know what I love? I think the beauty of it being a crossover music festival is, to me, that just says there's so many new faces and people that will have never heard of me and probably like, who's this girl? And I get to walk out there and be like, I'm from Derby and these are my country songs.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love like meeting new audiences and hopefully, you know, gaining a few new fans along the way. But
that's the whole point of festivals like that, isn't it? Like
the
more varied I think a lineup can be, I think the better it is
for sure.
Kind of every genre.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I love a straight down the middle country festival as well. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
But in terms of kind of growing country and growing fans, I think that's great. You know,
I think that's what's
who normally wouldn't dig into country.
Sure.
Discover it.
And probably don't even know that there is a scene, you know, that there are British artists making this, you know, this genre of music. So I absolutely love to kind of walk out and just represent, really.
Well, State Fair Festival is happening this June, the first one ever. You can find out all the information, absoluteradio.co.uk/tickets. Okay, before we go, let's do some manifesting.
Okay.
Now, do you speak it out loud? Or do you... You write it down.
I write it down.
This is, people do it differently, don't they? Some people are afraid to kind of, I mean, depending on how superstitious you are, some people are like, I'm not going to say it out loud in case I jinx it. Are you that?
I don't put it out there.
Okay, so you're not speaking it to the universe.
No.
Okay.
I write it down and then I have a dream jar.
Okay.
So I'll write it down and I'll fold it up and I put it in there.
How full is the dream jar at the moment?
It's about a third full.
Okay.
Because I feel, I don't want to be like greedy.
Sure.
So, you know, I'm not manifesting little stuff. It's like, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You're like, not like,
I don't want to
please let me get a great flat white tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Or please let me not have to wait for a taxi.
Yes.
Like, it's the big
Although
stuff.
Also, please let me not have to wait for a taxi when it's
in
raining.
The rain,
yeah,
which it is today.
I'm putting that in my dream jar.
Yeah. So,
please let me afford a taxi during surge pricing on a rainy day in central London and not have to wait.
That is the dream.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm a bit loath about the whole bucket list thing as well, because I just always think, well, you know, don't, of course, have your goals mm-hmm. and have your dreams and do your manifesting and all that. But whenever people are like, what's on your bucket list? I'm like, to get to tomorrow is on my bucket list. But you must have, as an artist, things that you're like, that's something that I really want to achieve? Yeah. And is there any that you can tell us about, or would you rather keep them in your dream jar? And because this is the thing that I have tried to teach myself, right? And you don't have to subscribe to this right now, but saying things out loud doesn't mean that they don't happen.
Yeah.
And acknowledging good things in your life doesn't mean that they go away. So you have a lot of really great things that you must acknowledge in your life. And there must be other things that you're like, yeah, that would be super cool. Like a collaboration, for example. Who would you like to collaborate with?
Well, I mean, right now, I'm just absolutely obsessed with Ella Langley. Yeah. I just think she's just such a queen. Yeah. And I love her sound. I love that she's just keeping it traditional. She's keeping it real. And I love that. I think when it comes to like manifesting and putting things out there, the only thing that worries me is that people would think I sound stupid.
That is, I know.
You know what I mean?
I like, know. Isn't that interesting?
You know, if you sat there and was like, oh, I want to headline Glastonbury. It's like, yeah. Oh, that's never going to happen. Like, but for me, it's more, if I was to sit here and say, what am I manifesting? I would love acceptance in the genre that I'm trying to be a part of.
Do you not feel like you're accepted in the genre?
I do. But I feel like there's a conversations over what stages can be played, and like, will a British artist ever be an opera member? Will a British country singer ever be in the Hall of Fame?
There must be a British artist as an opera member in the history of. Is there not?
Well, this is the thing. It's like it's that acceptance of not just you're a novelty British act that we're going to throw you a token, but like you've had enough success and you're well known and loved enough to earn this place. That acceptance of you're a great artist.
I think that's
fair. And for me, looking at a long career in country music, that's what I dream of. And whether that's the Opry, whether it's the Hall of Fame, whether it's the Albert Hall, whether it's the Pyramid Stage at
Glastonbury.
It can be all those things. But the thing that makes them all my dream is the acceptance that I deserve to be there.
I got you. Well, you deserve to be there.
Thank you.
You absolutely deserve to be there.
I'll give you that tenner later.
You do, though. I mean, that's what I when I started out this thing, I know that we sometimes, as a shortcut, and I guess when people say it, it means different things depending on who's saying it, but as a shortcut, we sometimes say UK country artist, you or whoever we might be talking about. And for me, when I say it, on air particularly, what I'm trying to convey with that is like, this is one of our own.
Yes.
Isn't this great? And I know that sometimes it can be read as, or people can mean it as, oh, you are in this other category.
Yes.
And that's never what I mean with it. I just mean like, isn't this great? Let's get behind whoever this person might be that I'm getting ready to play you, because they are one of our own who are making it in this industry.
Yeah.
But I know that it can be a bit contentious with people when they say UK country.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm the same. I will always say, you know, I'm a British country artist or a UK country artist. But that's because I'm not from Nashville, and it's almost more impressive that I'm making this music and I'm getting radio play and I'm playing great venues, and I'm not from Nashville. I didn't have that luxury of being able to, you know, just go down to Nashville with my guitar and do whatever. Like, I've had to almost come through the back door and do it the harder way to get into the room.
Yeah.
You know, so I say it proudly. But you're absolutely right. It's, with some groups and some opinions, it's like it's us and them. And I think going back to manifesting, it's that acceptance of I'm just one of the country gang, you know.
You're one of the country gang. Kezia Gill, All on Red. You can listen to it all online right now. And it's super exciting, everything that's happening for you. Thank you for coming to see us.
Thank you.
And when you are playing the Pyramid Stage in Royal Albert Hall and you're inducted into the Grand Ole Opry, will you continue to come and see us?
Will you have me?
We will absolutely have you. And we'll be cheering you on from wherever you're performing.
I love that. Thank you.
Thanks, Kezia.
Thank you.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk Podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.